Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. It is incredibly cold in Europe. Well, by Europe, I mean here in Bulgaria, where I am. It's very, very cold. It's full-blown winter, but I'm doing well.
Yeah, we just had the crazy cold Arctic polar blast explosion cyclone here in the Northeast, and then it must have traveled east.
Apparently, I'm
never cold, as you know, Netta.
This
was a point of contention when we were in Germany for the Olympics and deciding what temperature the hotel room would be. I'm never, ever, ever cold. I'm always too hot. And I had a moment when I was walking from the supermarket to my car in the parking lot where I was like, this is how I die. I didn't know you could get brain freeze from the outside.
I was walking home like an hour ago, and I literally was vocalizing about how cold I was. I was like walking around like, because it was just so cold.
I'm picturing you like the mailman from Hey Arnold, who's like, I hate the snow.
The thing is, I love snow and I like winter, and I'm obviously a fan of winter sports. It's just so much and so excessive. But that's the Europe part of this update. And I guess we got the U.S. part of this is the joint episode. Welcome. This happens every year. We're talking about Euros. We're also talking about U.S. nationals because there is no phones and no internet. And the people who make those choices have never communicated. And they were once again happening at the exact same fucking time.
Yeah, it's true. And it's me and Netta culture to be talking about the U.S. and Europe kind of at the same time.
Like, so simultaneously overlapping, very annoying about it.
Yeah.
It is us culture.
It's true. And that is one of the like benefits, as much as I'm like always like, oh, I miss you and I wish we could hang out. Like, it is one of the benefits of us being like on different continents is covering skating
everything
on different continents.
All the time. Yes.
Yeah. All the skating everywhere all at once.
It's my favorite movie of 2023.
100%. So today we're going to cover both Euros and the U.S. Nationals. And for the sake of time, we're going to just talk about podiums. And then we're going to do a bonus episode on our Patreon talking about other skating moments of note from those competitions. But that did not land on the podium. So we will talk about sort of where you can find that stuff on our break.
Yeah, because there was a lot of that, especially Euros is always a fucking adventure because there's like 60 skaters all told across singles disciplines.
I will say I was sad. What?
Why were you sad?
Oh, because in our last bonus episode, we were looking as it was like a Euros preview, and we saw that there was going to be a what country was that girl from?
Oh, whose name was Meda. Lithuania.
Lithuanian child, and she withdrew, so we didn't get to see our Lithuanian daughter skate. So that was a real bummer.
But. Yeah, I've never seen this child skate, but just because her name is Meda, she is our favorite now. I hope she's well. I hope everything is fine. I don't know why she had to withdraw, but. If it's like she was sick or something, I hope she's doing better.
Yeah, we stan.
Since we're talking about women in Europe, let's start there.
Let's talk about European women.
I love talking about European women.
Disclaimer. As we talk about Euros, and this is kind of an overarching thing for both competitions, is that the watchability of skating has like never been worse. And I straight up could not watch like entire chunks of Euros. I missed most of Euros because I couldn't watch it live because I couldn't find a stream, and then I couldn't find like any footage of it after. And I have Opera, like it's just outrageous. And likewise with U.S. Nationals, which we'll get to. Like I have Peacock, and like I still like finding things. If NBC doesn't choose to put clips on YouTube, it's like where the fuck am I finding this?
If NBC doesn't like decide that like it's worth reviewing. Yeah.
So it just drives me insane. And so I'm really sorry that I don't have more firsthand opinions about Euros. I'm here for like discourse and stuff, but like, or lack of discourse. But Netta, I think you're just going to have to recap it to me.
All right. I will attempt that. I will pretend to remember. In bronze, and very, very exciting, we have Kimi Räppänä from Switzerland, which I'm thrilled about because she is, first of all, very charming. And secondly, looking at the entries for this competitions, for this competition, I would not have guessed that this random child, she is 16 years old, would have ended up on the podium. It's just very, very exciting when we have like one of those breakout performances. I will say, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, she's the new star and blah, 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 because we don't like putting that sort of pressure on teenagers. So I'm not gonna. But it's just very exciting when someone just shows up and it's just good. She was second after the short, ended up in bronze overall. And she's just very charming and seemed to be as surprised as everyone else to be doing this fucking well. She, like, all of her interviews, she was just like, I'm so happy. I can't believe this is happening. Which is always cute. I'm just very excited about her and her future.
See, I didn't get to see her at all. The women, I literally did not get to see at all. I think I did watch at least the, like, later groups of the men for both short and free. But I think it was the women that I didn't get to see at all. So I really don't know anything about her. She's still a stranger to me, but I'm looking at her music and I see that it's her short program is Love is a Bitch and Go Fuck Yourself. And
it is. It very much is. She's a child of culture.
Do you think that Kimi Ripon gets iTunes comments about how there's no swearing in figure skating and it's filthy and her mom should wash her mouth out with soap?
I don't know, but I do know that her mom, like her parents, I think her mom is like a huge fan of hers. And I hope not like a weird like dance mommy kind of pressure way. But the Ripon siblings, because she does have three sisters, they have like a joint sibling TikTok account where I think it's their mom just posts like videos of them like in practice and like doing off ice and like random locations and stuff. And it's deeply charming. I hope it's like a good, you know, nice mom who cares about her children environment. But yeah, she has three sisters. I don't know if they're younger. I know one of them for sure is younger because I've seen her in the TikToks. The TikToks. I'm an old person. But there's three of them.
It's like Little Women, except
it is. Swiss.
They're Swiss and all of them skate, but presumably none of them fall through the ice.
Yeah, I have not heard or seen them. Like, I'm sure there is at least one video of them on like some sort of natural ice. So we don't know. It might be a Little Women remake, but as far as we know, it's not. Yeah. She is very, very cute. And I always enjoyed like being excited about someone I hadn't seen before. Or, like, hadn't paid as much attention to before. It's just fun vibes. She was fucking thrilled throughout. She was so happy about everything. And we love that energy. We do. Also, I lied. She was third in the short and then second in the free and came in third overall. I swapped them. But that's what ended up happening.
Well, it's kind of cool because I know that we were kind of like, all season, like, what the hell is going to happen at Euros? It's going to be Luna and Anastasia Gumanova, and then whomst the fuck else? And so to have that answer be like, well, this person you haven't heard of, that's like awesome.
Yeah, I was very excited about it. It's just a good, fun time when there's new faces to be excited about. And I did this on Twitter. I'm going to do it again just once. I promise not to, like, beat the dead horse. Half of those kids would not have been there if other people were there. And I'm just very happy that we got to see some excellent European skating without, you know?
Oh, obviously. Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
So what happened to my girl Luna? She got silver. I heard it was not her best competition. Talk me through this.
Well, your girl Luna, she was second in the short, third in the free, came in second overall. She was very, very hard on herself throughout. She was obviously disappointed. Not in like an unsportsmanship way, but just like we all knew that she was going in as like this is the season, like, this is the time for her to show up and win, blah, 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 blah. She just kind of, I don't want to say struggled because she still had a very good time. I think she just overcooked it a little. I think she just, like, overthought it and pushed a little bit more than she should have. Under-rotated one of her jumps in the short. Like, it wasn't bad, is the thing. And it's still her first European medal. So it's not... It's also the first medal at Euros for a Belgian woman, period. So it's, like, it's big. It's still big. And she's still, like, proud of it, I guess, according to some interviews. But she was obviously disappointed. Her short program continues to fucking slap so hard. It makes me very, very happy. And then her free, I actually very much enjoyed, even though it was dramatic and there were some falls and stuff. Because as we've talked about before, it's such a dramatic program, maybe too dramatic potentially, that it works when there is a little bit of angst about it, in my
opinion. That's true. I just feel like it hasn't gelled for her at this season. And I hope that either... I certainly hope it begins to, but also I hope that certainly going into next season, she's able to kind of look at what about it didn't gel and, like, if it was the program, how do we fix that for the next program?
Yeah, I've been a very big fan of Adam Solia's choreography this season. He's choreographed a bunch of stuff that I very much enjoyed. And I think I feel like he's one of those choreographers that I haven't, like, really paid attention to before.
No, same.
And now, like, he's working with several European skaters, all of whom have very, very cool programs. So I really hope that it doesn't sound like Luna's, like, anywhere near done. It very much sounds like she's, like, I'm not gonna, like, fucking drop it until I'm pleased with myself, which I love as an attitude. So I know it's early. I know there's still... a bunch of stuff left in this season, but I'm very excited to see how she takes this experience and builds on it for next season as well.
Who else has Adam Solia choreographed for this season? Because I hear his name come up a lot, and I too was not as familiar with him, and then all of a sudden it seems like he's everywhere.
He did a bunch of stuff. I will lie to you if I tell you right now.
Listeners, let us know what is your favorite Adam Solia program, and
yeah,
then
please
we'll
hit us up, because I know that, like, he's done so much that at this point my roommate recognizes him. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh, we see your face at the boards a bunch.
Oh, that's who that is. Okay, like, I'm putting a face to a name. Okay, Adam Solia is the guy that is always hanging out with Luna and Yorick, who I always say looks like an out of drag contestant on Drag Race giving a talking head. Okay.
Yes, I think I tweeted
that. It's very glam.
But I repeat it, and again, like, this is fine because it's coming from my high household, but I was watching something at Euros, and my roommate comes in into the room and sees Yorick and Adam Solia beside one of the many skaters they work with, and it's just like, oh, it's the gay and European people. I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah, it's
get
very
your man
much
who could do both.
Yeah, it is very funny, and I say this with, if you're new here, hi, I'm a drag artist. This is not derogatory. He does very much look like a drag queen out of drag. It's just, like, the very hydrated, very well-done filler work. This just,
yeah,
I wish I had the,
like,
money for that, respectfully.
Yeah, it's like a real-life Instagram filter where everything is glossy and, like, the cheekbones are high.
I recently purchased a face serum, one of those things that you, like, put on your face with, like, a little pipette situation. And I feel so expensive every night and every morning when I put it on. I aspire to be this fucking glam. And I'm trying very hard with my serum.
One day I'll have a skincare routine. I think
it's one of
truly
my things
believe
for this
about
year.
Myself.
It's one of my, like, I think you should join me in on this adventure. It's very fun. I've been trying to be better about it, especially when it's cold, because my skin suffers a lot.
Yeah, I might have to, because my skin has not necessarily been enjoying being in the mountains.
I will talk to you about my serums.
Yeah, we'll do that off air. Also, I hate the idea that I just phrase that so that it sounds like my skin is in the mountains and like I'm not with it. It's just off. My skin has gone for a hike.
I'm just imagining like one of those inflatable cube men, but it's skin and it's just like hiking by itself.
It's just a balloon. It's fine. Don't worry about it. If you see a skin balloon that looks like me in the mountains, don't worry about it.
It's just one of the many cryptids in your area.
It's viral marketing for this show.
Oh, God. So anyway, Anastasia Gubanova of Georgia won Euros. First, I believe, Georgian woman to ever win Euros. I'm just going to monologue for a second.
Yeah, please do. Please give us your Eastern European thoughts.
Oh, God. If you were anyone else, I would be so offended.
I know, right? I'm so sorry. That would be a funny blog name. Neta's Eastern European Thoughts.
Neta's Eastern European Thoughts. Hi, welcome. There's been a lot of discourse because she lives and trains in Russia and previously skated for Russia. And there has been a bunch of, well, see, Russian figure skating reigns supreme, blah, 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 blah. From both people who like that fact and people who are anti that fact. There's been discourse about like whether or not she belongs to Georgia at all, which I think is very weird and fucked up. I will say, for some other people, much like her national teammate, my former boyfriend, Morisik Vitalashvili, I will name names, we know that he is actively working with a team of people who like do ice shows and fundraise for the current Russian government and are very much used in Russian propaganda. That is not the case for Gubanova. Like, we just don't know that for her. And I think it's personally kind of fucked up to just assume, to make like a bad faith assumption about some fucking child. She's like 20 years old. Her personal life part on Wikipedia is like, she confirmed that she had Georgian citizenship in 2021. We don't know when she got it, why she has it. We don't know any of those things. But the thing is, you can't go around and pass judgment on people based on solely where they were born. Like, yeah, there are people actively working for a corrupt government of war criminals and participating in war criminal propaganda. And then there's people who were geographically based somewhere 20 years ago when they were born. And those are different things. Again, I don't know her personal politics. She might be a garbage person from hell, in which case, please let me know. I'll cuss a bitch out. I don't care. I just think it's very... I just think it's very hypocritical of both ends of the figure skating fandom and general discourse to pick and choose when they want to care about where a skater is from. Because looking down the list of skaters, especially the women representing different countries, so many of those girls are vaguely Russian or Russia-born or trained in Russia for 15 years. So fucking many of them. Because that's kind of how the cycle of European figure skating works. Including my girl Alexandra Fagan. Including Ekaterina Kurikova, who came in fourth, by the way. Thrilled for her. And I just don't know where we draw the line. Like, are we going to open up people's fucking passports and see when was the last time they were in St. Petersburg before we start judging them? I don't know. My mom's going to be so mad because I'm cursing a lot. I'm not going to judge this girl about where she is from. And, like, people were like, well, she could just move. Like, have you ever tried fucking move countries at 20? Because I have, and it's hard.
No, I was literally going to say that. Like, I am, in addition to, you know, having you as a close friend, having family members and friends who are both in have in the past and are currently going through the immigration process.
God.
Like, it is a nightmare. And like, it has gotten so much worse recently. And I truly cannot even begin to speak to what that would be like if your country is currently at war. Like, I just don't under like it would cost a lot of money and a lot of time and be complicated. I generally don't know what it would be like to be living in Russia and trying to leave at this very moment. It sounds like it's a little more complicated than that. And also being an athlete is expensive. All this stuff. I'm just like, we just literally don't know the details of her life. Like, can you imagine if, I don't know, I think I would have a really hard time if people were scrutinizing my living situation and my every choice and my every how I spent every dollar and everybody I spoke to about yeah. my job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Also, God, I had a thought and it was so eloquent, I swear, just a second ago. Oh, yeah. Also, she's representing a country which doesn't have the equipment and the facilities for the sport as much as actual war criminal state Russia does. Like, this is also a fact. If she wanted to go to Georgia and skate there, the facilities would be different. Maybe she would have, you know, there are so many things, and it's just so oversimplified to be like, well, she should just pack her bags and move. Like, I wish it were that simple for like everyone involved. Like,
yeah, I think it's, yeah, I said this on Twitter. I think it's yucky to go down the road of questioning where any immigrant is like really from versus where they live and policing that. Here's what I will say. This is all colored a little bit for me by the fact that it was my understanding that she was one of the cases of young Russian girl figure skater who had pretty beautiful technique and artistry and was not flourishing under the like Eteri quad yep. shit regime. And was one of the people who got out and said, I'm going to skate the way I skate and I'm going to do it for another country if I have to. And so that to me was like, yay, it's like a happy story. And so I don't know, maybe we should get Caitlin on here, our Russian drama expert or something. Hi, Caitlin. This is how you will find out about this request is you are listening. But yeah, we'll have to figure out what her deal is. I mean, I don't get the feeling that it's like, I'm just, you know, I don't think she ever skated with a Terry. Like, I think that
she has people, not know.
Yeah, I think people need skated to think about
Bujanova and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, people need to think about sort of what are we hoping to achieve and who are we hoping to penalize for like banning Russia from sports, because I agree that it should happen. And I don't think that they're like entitled to a pathway to compete right now.
Absolutely the fuck not.
Like, I really, really don't. But I think that that's because.
But also we can't be like, oh, yeah, if you have a Russian sounding name, you can't compete, because by that same token, there are so many fucking people over this fucking world who shouldn't be competing. Like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, well, and my theory, my thinking on it is, I think the reason that I support keeping Russia out of competition, even if they're under a different flag or they're under like the Olympic athletes of whatever, 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 okay. is that it's still the symbolism of it, of like, this is the country you represent, and that's still glorifying that nation. And I'm like, show me where Anastasia, by skating under the Georgian flag and having the Georgian national anthem played for her, is glorifying Russia, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that, if anything, plays very much into like a myth of a persisting USSR, which, my God, we cannot get into. This is a figure skating podcast. But being like, well, anyone who's like Russia adjacent is technically Russian. Grating. Stupid. Deeply Western. Well, daunt.
Yeah, and I think it's complicated because I think that because the sanctions against Russia in this sport, because of the war, happened so closely on the heels of nothing happening because of all the doping and cheating, I think that everybody's...
Sorry, I have to laugh because otherwise I will cry.
Yeah, but I think that everybody's emotions about it are mixed, and so there's this general disdain for Russia and Russian stuff in figure skating. And I am not going to pretend that I haven't also felt it a little bit, and I'm just trying really hard to not be like a xenophobe over this, because there's Russia's like one of the biggest countries, and I'm sure that there's probably like normal good people who live there, because there's normal good people who live literally everywhere.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just, I don't know, I think that people who talk shit on Twitter should think a little bit harder about like what they're saying.
That's why I think it's fine to draw the line, because like being born somewhere and being of somewhere is one thing. And then you have someone like Moisey Kvitelashvili, again, I will name names, who is a 27-year-old man who is very distinctly aware of the politics of the people he's skating for. And those are different things. Like, this is where we can actually see someone's active participation. Because even with, like, the fucking, like, when they use, like, Valieva for propaganda, I can still be like, oh, she's a child. She's still a child. In the case of Morrissey, he's a 27-year-old man. So I'm like, he could be making his own choices. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't depend on anyone for anything as much as we'd like to make excuses for those people, you know?
Yeah, and I think, like, in general...
So those are... Nuance! Oh my God, I think it's about nuance.
People get weird about nation switching in general, to which I say, like, nations are fake, y'all. Like, I mean, cultures of people are not fake. Yeah, like, cultures of people are not fake. Histories are not fake. But, like, borders are fucking pretend. And, like, it doesn't... Like, literally, nationalism is so stupid to me. Like, I just... I've heard people be like, oh, we should just let everyone compete based on how good they are and not worry about, like, national quotas. And, like, I can't get into that. But, like, there is an element of that where I'm like, yeah, I'm not competing to see what fucking country is the best. Like, who's watching to be like, my country has to win? Like, not as many people as...
Not as many as people.
The alternative.
Anyway, so Gubanova won. I will continue to judge her about the fucking Slumdog Millionaire program, which I continue to dislike very deeply. Just because I'm... And we've talked about this. I'm pretty sure, like, wearing a sari and all of that is, like, something that is okay if you're, like, around, like, if you're at your Indian friend's wedding or something. But I still am not sure if we needed that cherry on top of the rest of this discourse Sunday, you know?
Yeah, Liz, like, the nationalist angle isn't confusing enough for her. Let's throw in a whole different country, like, just to throw them off the scent. Let's look over at India.
I wish she would have just skated to fucking whatever Isabel Oviedo's kids do, My Sweet and Tender Beast, or some, like, Rachmaninoff or something. I wanted it to be so Russian. Like, if we're gonna do weird nationalist, like, at least fucking commit to it. This is fully joking. But, yeah, I don't like that program. She skated beautifully, though. Like, it's undeniable. She doesn't give me the same anger I get from, like, the quote-unquote Russian school.
No, and, like, I don't think it was, like, an undeserved win. I know that I haven't seen it, but just from having looked at the scores and the protocols, which granted, like, you can't get everything from just reading the scores and protocols, but it doesn't seem insane to me, like, oh, who's paying whomst, you know?
Yeah. So anyway, all of that happened. Please don't at me for my European, Eastern European opinions. Let me talk to you about men.
I would love that. I would simply love that.
So in continued fucking wins for Swiss figure skating, Lukas Brzeski came in third for the men. He was fifth in the short, but then fought his way through and was third in the free and ended up with bronze overall, because men's figure skating is fucking chaos. And let me tell you, there was some movement, there was some climbing, there was drama. It was everything you could possibly want out of European men figure skating. There was camp, something that, like, just looking down the list, Mark Gordnitsky was 22nd in the short and then 9th in the free. Like, that, those are the vibes. Like, if you want vibes, that was what was happening, was very much that movement. But I was thrilled for Lukas because I've been watching him for, like, a couple years now, and I really, really enjoy his skating. And I think he's a fun skater, and he's one of those people that always gets lost in, like, the mid ranks. You know, he's always, like, 10th to, like, 15th at things. And I was just thrilled for him. I don't know what else to say about it. I was just, like, very happy to finally see this person that I've, like, kind of stand a little bit, like, perform super well. And he was one of those people that, like, on the podium, he looked like fucking thrilled to be there. There was also a very cute picture of like Stefan, who was one of the first people to congratulate him, which just made me emotional about Swiss figure skating. You know,
yes.
Normal things.
Oh my God, I love this kid. He is so great. I agree. I've been very like enthusiastic about him every time I've seen him the past few years. And yeah, sometimes you just get a nice surprise where it's somebody that you wouldn't have necessarily expected on the podium, but you're like, oh my God, I love that kid. Good for him. It's almost like, it's giving shades of like how I felt when Matteo got bronze at Euros a few years ago. Like it's a similar experience of like, oh my God, that kid's great. I love that he got on the podium.
Exactly. And speaking of Matteo Rizzo of Italy got silver this time, and a fucking display of what it means to care about this sport so much. He was so fucking excited about his silver. It was a moment because he technically won the free skate by like 2 points. He was outstanding. Both of his programs, very, very good. And he was just so happy. He finished his free and it was one of those moments of just like joy and celebration. And he just knew he'd done well. And that continued through him, you know, figuring out that it wasn't going to be gold, it was going to be silver still, because because Adam had like a, spoiler alert, Adam Xiaohenfa of France won. Adam had like a 10-point lead going into the free, which is why that's how the numbers worked out. But Matteo just celebrated that silver so hard. And I love that because so often we see like people be like upset that it wasn't better. And he was just thrilled.
Yeah, I feel like this was like a real journey for him. Because, I mean, honestly, we've seen him be upset with silver quite a bit in the past couple years. And I don't know, the fact that he was so overjoyed, that because he knew that he skated really, really well. That to me was like, that showed that he had been on a journey. Also, sidebar, I think his mom made his shirt, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm like 90% sure I saw on Instagram somebody complimented his shirt, and then he said, yeah, my mom made it. Isn't it
that
cute?
Is so fucking,
it's also really
cute.
Stylish, like his mom's kind of got an
I mean
eye.
She's Italian, so she
that's
knows
true.
Fashion
that's true.
I would assume
all Italians know fashion.
I'm just reading about it. She was a ice dancer. I somehow didn't know that both of his parents were ice dancers. Or maybe I knew at some point and forgot about it. I don't know. But yeah, I was very happy. Like, all sorts of semi-jokey discourse about Italian figure skating that we've had recently. I continue to deeply enjoy Matteo and his little ear piercings and his Måneskin program. It just speaks to me.
Agreed. And in first place, winning the gold medal for France, we have Adam Xiaohenfa.
Oh my God, a son.
A son. Unto us, a son is given. I was so thrilled. And I kind of, this was like my pipe dream. I was like, this kid's going to win Euros. But I didn't know it could happen.
No, it very much happened in a massive win for French figure skating. He's the first French figure skater to win gold in like, what, like 12 years or something? I think the last person to win was Brian Joubert in like 2008 or 9. I'm not sure. I don't know. I might be making this up.
Well, it's a little... Well, did Kevin never win Euros?
No, Kevin has not won Euros. I don't know. He's not.
I know he's...
Kevin came in fourth, by the way. We can talk about that on the Patreon.
We can talk about that on Patreon, but also, yeah, if a
no,
Frenchman
Kevin's
was going to win...
The highest Kevin's been is fourth in 2018 and then fourth this year.
Interesting. Yeah, I continue to enjoy Kevin skating, but his coaches are fucking monster human beings who I'm assuming were allowed some sort of special VIP access to the evil lounge where Atari and her crew hung out. And where they just sort of like, I don't know, like drank the blood of innocent babies or something.
Oh, God.
But anyway, so I'm happy it was Adam. He works really hard. And I think it's really, really cool to see the winner be somebody who was doing sort of like a high concept meta fiction short to free connected. Like, Benoit has a fair amount of misses. It's not all hits, I'm not gonna lie. Like, he takes a lot of big swings, and there are some of them.
Well, you don't enjoy the credit jump scare.
Oh my God. We'll get there. Yeah, he's not always, not all Benoit's Richaud equally hard, but I don't know. These are great. I love them. Adam sells the shit out of them. What a great skater. Well deserved.
I just love watching a man win a medal while Woodkid is fucking blasting in the background. It is my one joy in this world.
Woodkid is one of those overplayed artists that I actually don't mind at all and could always use more of, to be honest.
I love Woodkid. I have so much Woodkid on my personal playlist. I will never complain about him.
Yeah.
Also, Woodkid himself is French.
Yeah, well, that's what I feel like. Adam always does these, like, French-ass programs. He's always, like, French-ass programs with, like, Daft Punk, Woodkid. What was the other one he did last year that was also extremely French-ass?
Last year he did Star Wars. I don't know if Star Wars is Star Wars French?
No, but Les Guerres d'Étoiles. No, somebody skated to, I was thinking of Kevin. Kevin also skates to very French music because he skated to the group that does the M83.
Yes, correct.
So
yes,
the French know how to pop off to their own music.
The French are Frenching, and I appreciate it very deeply.
They're Frenching each other. They're Frenching Woodkid.
I wonder if Woodkid. I know we were joking about musicians knowing if their music is used in figure skating earlier today, but I wonder if Woodkid knows because, like, again, he is a French artist, and this French kid very much won gold for France. Using his music, I'm sure he's heard about it at this point.
I hope so. If you know Woodkid, let him know.
Yeah, sometimes I at him, like, every once in a while when I'm live tweeting, I'll be like, I wonder if at Woodkid knows.
Sometimes when I'm just, like, absorbing the news, just current events, I'll just sometimes quote and be like, I wonder if Woodkid knows. There's a spy balloon over America. I wonder if Woodkid knows.
Follow Woodkid on Twitter. He is actually quite active. Maybe he knows.
All right, let's go to a break. Welcome to The Break. This is where we tell you where you can hear our bonus episodes. And the answer to that question is Patreon, patreon.com/icedteapod, where you can get lots and lots and lots of bonus episodes from us and also help us keep the lights on in the metaphorical studio. And we very much appreciate it. We would love to see you there.
Yeah, perfect. That was basically all of it. You get access to our entire backlog. I recently taught Megan how to play a video game. I, a non-gamer, the most gamer of all times. We played a video game that you can see. There is a lot of figure skating related stuff. There's also just like fun shenanigans that we get into sometimes. And you very much help us make this show. Also, you can find that and other ways to connect with us and all of the information about us and everything on our website, which is icedteapod.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. I still have not had to send a newsletter out because Twitter continues to be a thing, allegedly. But we do have a emergency newsletter list of folks that in the event of social media disappearing, I would send out a gentle little newsletter and be like, hey, here's where you can find us. Also, I might just send you a love letter at some point. We're closing it on Valentine's Day. Maybe I'll drop you a kind word. And that's icedteapod.com.
And as always, if you want to help us out for free, you can give us 5 stars and a nice review on any podcast platform that you happen to be listening to this on.
Yeah, you can also review on the website, like straight up on the website, and you don't have to like log into anything. I know sometimes it's annoying when the purple iTunes form or iTunes podcast icon like asks you for things. You can just drop us a review straight on the website and it also counts. We love kind words.
Yeah, if you're not going to give us 5 stars and kind words, honestly, just keep it to yourself. I'm fine with you, with never knowing that.
Yeah. Yeah, but 5 stars are good. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you, guys. We love you. And we will see you on the other side of this break for the United States.
Welcome to the United States.
Welcome to America.
This
land
is America.
Of the skating.
Land of the skating and home of the pewter medals.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can like quickly talk pewter medals.
And then
honorable mentions on Patreon will start with that. I'm going to just keep the trend and start with women because I just think, once again, that women.
It starts with girls.
One thing, and it's girls. Speaking of pewter medals, Star Andreas got her pewter medal.
Star Andrews has stepped it up, and I am like absolutely obsessed.
She's one of those skaters that like we've stand for so long just because her vibes are impeccable, but now she's also undeniably one of the best.
There's nothing better in this sport when that happens, when one of your faves ends up being like objectively fave. And also just, her programs are so good. The red jumpsuit. I feel like in that, I think it was the short program. It was a short. It was a short.
The shortest, the demi.
Yeah. And there were so many good red costumes in that field and so many good jumpsuits. And then Star came out and was like, what if both?
What if both? And what if I own this? Oh, it's so good. I'm on a Demi Lovato kick recently. Like, that's something that has been going on in my life. And I just love that program very much. I also, as we infamously know, am not opposed to a Lara Fabian of any iteration.
No, and I think she sold it. Like, I think that was correct for her. Because I think whoever actually made that connection of, like, Star should do a Lara Fabian. I think that that's genius. That's like a genius pull for her. Because it's dramatic, you know?
Yeah. And because she does, like, we know she can do, like, pop and, like, a deep cut into, like, contemporary music or, like, more, you know, like, cooler shit. I'm trying not to say cooler shit, but she does cool shit very easily.
She does more contemporary, like, top 40-ish type stuff.
Yeah.
And I think this was a smart way to marry that, being, like, obviously the music she connects to and vibes with, but also having it be, like, kind of warhorsey to show the judges, like, she's a serious contender. She's going to do this thing that everybody does, and she's going to do it better.
Yeah. I'm just thrilled for her. She also seemed to be very proud of herself, which we love to see. It was also one of those situations of just, like, the math being fucking insane because she was third after the short. And then her free was shaky. She ended up in seventh, but, you know, math. We got her as a medalist, and that's always very exciting.
Sometimes math is on a girl's side.
Yep, correct. Speaking of girls, speaking of women in bronze, speaking of cool jumpsuits in bronze, we have the coolest bitch at the Hunger Games, Amber Glenn.
Amber Glenn!
Light of my life.
Medalist Amber Glenn!
Medalist Amber Glenn, I feel like she continues to be too hard on herself because she always wants to be working harder and doing more. She continues to be very self-critical, which I appreciate, but also she's so fucking good.
Yeah, I honestly really like the way that she was being honest about how, like, practicing triple axels hurts. And, like, it's not easy, especially if you're, like, not 12. And it just, like, it's not like, oh, I have an injury or I'm, like, badly hurt. It just, like, sometimes doing hard things with your body hurts. And as a person whose body hurts all the time, doing not even really difficult things, just, like, sitting in my car for too long, I was like, yes, representation for bisexuals in pain.
Yeah, I personally did 50 minutes of off-ice before my one figure skating practice 2 days ago, and my entire body continues to hurt right now. It might also be because it was, like, sub-zero temperatures at the rink, and I did it in combat boots. But yeah, I know what it's like to be in pain. Jokingly, of course. I could never know what she goes through. But yeah, I love both of her programs very much, and I love that she is also kind of like a one of the voices of the field as well. Like, she was doing a bunch of social media stuff and recaps, and obviously her TikTok is like popping off at all times. And also, and I know I say this every time, but it's just so fucking good to me. Anytime she finishes skating and you see the fucking pride flags in the arena, it just sparks joy.
It does. And like, I don't know, just her energy, like,
yeah,
it just feels different. I don't know, like, a seventh conversation with somebody.
This is what,
like,
being bisexual can do for you.
No, it is. And it's like, because it's this thing of like, gaydar doesn't exist, but you can kind of clock other queer people just based on vibes and energies that I don't think I could really articulate. And like, so seeing that out there on the ice doing really well, like, that kind of energy makes me feel really happy.
Yeah, it's representation. And also, it's just, I mean, it's huge. Just like, my TikTok algorithm has been back on like figure skating TikTok a bunch. And I'm seeing like so many young, like, teenagers who are, you know, competing locally and all of that. And so many of those kids are very openly queer on the internet and like in their lives. And it's just so exciting to see that generation of skating. And I am so excited for like a future where we don't even have to talk about this. And it's just like normal. But like, seeing the one out queer woman in this field thrive like this is always very fucking exciting.
It is. And also, I think it's cool when she is able to do this well without like perfect clean triple axel, because I think, I don't know, like, I don't necessarily stan Amber for her jumps. Even before I knew that Amber was queer, which is obviously like, we stand for that as well. I don't know. I always immediately connected to Amber because of the way she's so expressive and her quality of movement is so dramatic and intense.
I've just always loved the drama.
Yeah, like, I
always
love
like a little like female vocal going through it. Everything is dramatic and terrible. Like, it's been that.
It's been years and years. It's been less concerned with being pretty and fluffy and more concerned with being like raw in a way that resonates with me and always has. And so for her to get a medal even without the triple axel, it kind of like, I wish she would succeed at what she tries to do, right? But I also hope that she understands that like, she earned that on other things that she's also amazing at.
Yes, correct. I will say I'm mad at her short program score because it was 68.96, and you could have just given her the 0.04. it would have been
so nice. You could
have
just done that for us. You could have just been a little bit nicer.
It would have been so nice. And speaking of nice things, in silver, and to quote her own fucking damn self, she's back, baby. It's Brady Tennell.
I freaking love Brady Tennell. And I have to immediately jump in and talk about the best the costume of all time.
Yes.
I'm obsessed with it. I love it. And you know what I realized, Netta? I think that one of the only constants of this show since the very beginning has been that we've always disagreed about Brady's costumes every single time. I really think it's true. If I think about, I can name at least four or five costumes that I know we've had like polarized opinions on. This is the first one that I think we're both like really stoked about.
I'm obsessed with it. Me too. Always love like a Vanta black on ice. It's the fucking Nicole Shott cheerleader outfit. I love a black that's so fucking black that it doesn't like even reflect light. The little color is genius. The it's so good. Everything about this costume is so good.
It is. And it's, I love that it's so plain. I think that it takes like so much. It's just like very courageous to go out and just be like, I'm going to rock the shit out of a relatively plain costume. And I think it's like, she skated out in it, right? And at first I wasn't sure whether it was like a collar peeking over like an Under Armour jacket that she was then going to take off. And that happens to me a lot, right? Where skaters will skate out in a cool Under Armour jacket or a Nike jacket or just anything like sleek sportswear. That's like my favorite type of fashion. So if I see a skater in that kind of thing, I'm like, oh my God, please keep it on. I hope this is the costume. And it never is. But this time it was. And that was a great moment for me.
I'm looking at it right now and it's just dreamy. The ombre is so good. The gloves, I always love a black or a colorful glove on ice because I think it like makes your hands stand out so much against the white of the ice.
I think that a pale blonde in black is really a good look as well. I feel always. Like we talked about this a lot when Game of Thrones was airing because it's very Daenerys Targaryen, but yes. That's amazing. I think finding an innovative and interesting way to do a Peter Pan collar in the year of our Lord 2023 is like, give her a medal just for that.
Well, I don't know if you know this because I know you're not on TikTok, but the children have decided that twee fashion is back.
It was just here. Like, I feel like Peter Pan collars were really, really big when we were in grad school, and that was like a second ago.
That was, I have terrible news, 7 years ago.
That's not long enough for fashion to cycle back. In my day, fashion used to cycle back every like 20 years, not every.
Well, yeah, terrible news. Fast fashion is extremely bad and it's cycling through shit so quickly. Have you been to an H&M recently? Because it looks like 2005 in there and it's terrifying.
I haven't been to an H&M recently because I pretty much only shop at Torrid because being a size 16 to 18 is really confusing in the fast fashion world. And that's a whole nother thing. But
you're so valid for it. Well, I hope Torrid carries a velour jumpsuit for a tracksuit for you and like a baby doll dress, like a baby doll t-shirt with like a little embroidered something in the center and those like ruffled sleeves. It's very much, it makes me feel like I'm in middle school. It's terrifying.
That was like, was that high school for me? I don't know. No one cares. No one listens
like
to this.
Like 2005, 2006, whatever. Yeah, I will tell you something I care about. I have not listened to this, but there is a podcast made by Mike Schubert of Potterless, who used to make Potterless, which was a show where he would read all of the Harry Potter books for the first time as an adult. Trans rights, fuck J.K. Rowling, but that was like back in the day. And now
Potterless is the way I would like the world to be at this point.
Honestly, him too, probably. But he does this show called The New Olympian now, where he does the same thing with the Percy Jackson books. And Brady was a guest on that, like, last week.
I love how fucking Tumblr this kid is. She is, like, super hulock Percy Jackson, like
Taylor Swift, Peter Pan colors.
Like, I don't know so anything. Valid. I don't know anything about her personally, but it's giving like your most beloved autistic queer Tumblr mutual. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right, it's here. Yeah, no, it is. It's very much
but in the best way. Like, I realize I need to be clear that those are all compliments coming from.
Yeah, this is very much not derogatory. I feel like Brady and I would be friends, and I continue to. It's one of my biggest dreams to have her on this show because I just think it would be a fucking riot.
Also, honestly, like, I yes, really no, go think, for it. Let us know what you think, listeners. I've been kind of itching to get a whole bunch more guests on this show. I think it's been a while. I think we should. I have so many people that I want to invite on. And I think Brady would be really fun. I feel like we could have a whole episode where we just talk about our like Blorbo special interests and like don't even talk about skating.
I would love to invite Brady to now on and be like, forget about skating. Yeah, I was going to say something else about her. I quoted her at the beginning, but I just respect a bitch who can. She got off the ice after the short program, and the first thing she said to, like, the little media circle was, I'm back, baby. And then she made it her whole thing for, like, the duration of the weekend. And I just love a bitch with confidence so much.
Yeah, like, there was no, like, mincing about, like, oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't blame people for that either. People handle things in different ways, but it's just fun for her to just be like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I respect.
I just punched the ceiling by mistake. I'm sorry.
Aw. I mean, we know she's had a tough road. She's had, like, injuries and stuff, and I don't want to, like, dwell on that. But it's so exciting to see someone just show up and be like, yeah, I'm, yes, hello, I'm back.
I am, yes, hello, I am back. This is my first time seeing the Greta program in a post Greta getting Andrew Tate arrested world. And it just hits so different now.
I love Greta as a personality and as like everything she stands for. I respect this child very much. And this program continues to fucking crack me up. And I know that's not the point, but it cracks me up.
It is really funny. I almost like. I feel like Brady probably gets it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think she gets it. I don't think just based on everything that we've said about her so far, don't you think she probably is in on it? I think she's in on it.
Yeah. Also, I don't know this person, but I would assume if Greta had a second of her life where she's not like protesting a pipeline somewhere, she would also enjoy this program as well.
She's a meme queen. Like, that's the thing about Greta is you cannot out-meme her. You cannot out-online her. She is always going to be funnier than you. And it's like, people need to learn this.
Yeah, I respect her so very deeply. I also respect our gold medalist, Isabel Levito, who did win at age 15. I feel like I've said everything I need to say about Isabel at this point, honestly.
Yeah, I think she did a really good job. And I think that numerically she deserved to win.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's a case of like, oh no, I would have scored it differently and something else would have happened. Like, maybe, but I mean, okay, so like me, yes, I would score things very differently. We all know this. But I don't think that the judges, within a reasonable scope of expectation of how they would score things, did anything egregiously insane that made me feel like this was wrong. I think that at this point,
I mean, her free skate PCS was fucking insane, but we all know. Yeah. She didn't need a 10-point lead.
No, she didn't. And I agree with that. However, it makes sense to me that she won. It's not like, holy shit, I can't believe she won. And part of the reason it makes sense to me is because at this point, I kind of just expect USFS every few years to pick a teenager that they're like, this is the winner. And I don't necessarily mean literally like it's fixed, it's predetermined. I don't think that that is like literally exactly the case. I do think that there is, you know, publicity and funding and attention and things that go a long way towards getting somebody to that place of winning nationals at 15. And I think that if I were USFS, I would take a long, hard look at the pattern, because it's not every year. Some years, like a veteran of the sport is rewarded.
An ancient woman of 25
is rewarded occasionally.
Speaking of which, Mariah was there. She was doing like media stuff. It was very cute.
Yeah, well, also Alyssa Liu was there, and they were like the coolest person ever. Like, just being like,
out looking gorgeous.
I'm wearing a crazy blonde wig, and I look stunning. Like the best. Just like a goth cousin at the party, just like living their life.
The only aesthetic.
Yeah, I would take a long look at that and see, you know, how is this serving the U.S. team in the long run? And is it sustainable? And are we setting people up for success this way? Or are we just sort of running them through a grindstone, the likes of which, I mean, I wouldn't compare it one-to-one to Russia, but it's like, are we being a little hypocritical by doing this with our teen stars, you know?
Yep. I will say once again, I don't think she had to have a 10-point. Because going into the free, the point difference between Brady and Isabel was 0.02, and I feel like they overcorrected.
Yeah, it was so close coming out of the short. I don't think I've ever seen a competition that close after the short. I was telling everybody, including people who didn't want to know and don't care about skating, I was like, do you understand how close it, I can't. It's so close. I think that Isabel is, for me, like, I kind of have young up-and-coming teen starlet fatigue in this sport. And so I think that I can't divorce her from that context in a way that is probably not fair to her, because I feel like if I had never seen skating and she was the first young teen star that I was like, oh my God, she's so cute, I love her, I stan, like, it would just be a different perspective. But just full disclosure, from where I'm coming from, I'm a little tired of it, and I don't blame her.
I'm a lot tired of it.
Yeah, I don't blame her at all. I just think I'm not capable of giving her a totally fresh-eyed take because of where she sits in the long line of this kind of thing going on in many federations, including the U.S. What I will say, I still think that she just shouldn't be in seniors yet. Like, it just drives me insane that there's this mentality of, like, the second you're the best junior, the prize you win is getting to be a senior. Like, that's not how time works. Like, just allowed to be amazing juniors. Why can't we let amazing juniors be amazing juniors before making them be a senior while they're still clearly a junior?
Yep. Exactly. If anything, like, internationally, the junior field is very, very competitive and very, very full of young, talented people. it kind of feels weird that the level up is the reward that you get.
Well, yeah, it's like if we took the top kid in every class and whoever got the highest score all of a sudden gets to skip a grade. You would have like the most ridiculous school. It would be completely mismatched. That's not how it works. You can like get an A and be top of your class and still then have to go and do the next level with everybody else.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's it. And I think all of this is gonna, well, not get fixed, but be more of a conversation in the next couple of years as we see age minimums go up a little bit. I'm so excited for age minimums to go up a little bit.
God, right? Well, let's talk about men while
we're
here.
Let's close it off with some boys.
Let's do it.
Gotta love boys. First of all, people did try to have discourse because, spoiler alert, three of the four people on this podium are the children of Russian-born immigrants. And people did try to have discourse about it. And to that I say, listen to the first 25 minutes of the show.
Guys, it's giving World War II. Like, no thank you.
It's embarrassing. Anyone who hasn't dealt with immigration or being a first generation, anyone of anything, anywhere, y'all don't get it. Like, don't. It's embarrassing. Like, demanding to know where, like, people's grandparents were born is, it's giving, you should not be doing this.
Yeah. Also, I thought that, I don't know, didn't they fucking, well, I'm asking you as though you went to elementary school in America, which you didn't, but I don't know. I feel like for my fellow American, we were raised.
Megan for president 2026.
I'm currently, you can't see it, but I'm doing the thing where I gesture with a closed fist and kind of just shake it gently.
Yes.
The thing I was going to say about it is that I feel like we were all kind of raised to the fake history we were taught instead of anything bad America actually did was America's great because everyone's grandparents and great grandparents came on a boat and they sailed past the Statue of Liberty and everybody's from a different place. And that's like the theme of America. That's America's flavor. That's our theme, is that like we're a melting pot or whatever.
Yeah.
But then like all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow, look at like a lot of it's true. A lot of Team USA is first and second generation kids. And I think that's fucking rad.
That's awesome.
It does, on some level, to some extent, speak to the character of America, if not as it actually is, then as we are told it is or as it should be. So it's then bananas to be mad. Like, it's just very fucking bad in an obvious way that I'm sure is obvious to all of you. If you guys are like enjoyers of this podcast, I cannot imagine that your politics are such that you're like doing blood quantum on the fucking like top three, four of the... You know,
yeah, no, it also like I don't want to romanticize like the immigrant experience or like immigrants as a one solid way of being. But it makes sense that so many of those very successful children are first and second gen kids from like different other places that are not America, because so much of immigration to the U.S. is people who have been sold this American dream in one way or another. And if you are this sort of parent, of course you're gonna then invest so much in a sport that your child is good at, because like that's what you've worked for, that's why you went there, like that's the whole thing that the rest of the world gets as like the American promise, is like you're gonna go there and you're gonna be successful. And of course it makes sense that a bunch of parents who made some sort of American dream work for them would then invest in their children's success in this.
Yeah,
country.
And like, finally,
it's not even big logic. Like, this is basic.
No, it's not.
Thinking that I'm doing.
America's a fucking baby toddler country that didn't exist before like people from other places came here. Before that, it was like an indigenous rich land. So unless you're like really like the only skaters who should ever win are of indigenous descent, please by all means throw some fucking money at an indigenous skating program. We would love
to see that.
More indigenous skaters, please. Somehow I don't see those people opening their wallets to that, but yeah, you know, what do I know?
No, I feel like they want, and I say that with all due respect to like, I don't fucking know, girl. I was gonna say they want like some people with English and whatever, German and Western European ancestries to be winning. And that's like, take a look at yourself and wonder why that is.
Like, who would that even be? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know at this point. Like, that's just not what U.S. skating is. And yeah. That's again, why it ties back to what we were saying about Bonova is, like, you can't comb it through with that fine tooth of a comb. It's just yeah. so not germane to what we're doing here, but also, like, it just is not going to work.
Yeah, it's just exhausting. Anyway, Maxim Naumov won the, or Naumov, I should say. I've made a promise to myself to not westernize Slavic names. The announcer, who I don't know who he is, but the announcer at US Nats was doing an amazing job with Ilya Malinin's name and, like, saying it the right way. And I was like, I'm guilty of westernizing this. So
can you quickly tell me how to say those names?
Okay, so the way I would say Maxim Naumov is Maxim Naumov, which is Bulgarian, not Russian, but, like, Naumov instead of Naumov. Very rarely would you have the first syllable be stressed. Okay, so Naumov won a pewter. It's one of those crazy math worked out things where he was sixth in the short, fourth in the free, and ended up with a medal because it's men's figure skating. I don't think there is a single dude in the senior men's rankings in U.S. figure skating that I don't like, is my hot take.
No, I think you're right. I think you're exactly right.
I think they all bring, like, different vibes and they're all fun. He is also one of those kids. He skated, like, I don't remember what his programs were at the top of my head right now, but I remember enjoying both of them very deeply. And I'm thrilled. He's been, like, fifth. I think it was fifth last year or the year before that. So it's, like, very good to see him, like, climbing up those ranks.
Hell yeah. Speaking of people that it is so good to see climbing up the ranks. Speaking of people, can we talk about our close personal friend, Andrew Torgashev?
Friend of the pod, Andrew Torgashev, who, my God, did so well. You can't go wrong with two Misha G or Misha G. I'm still not sure. You can't go wrong with your Misha G programs, two of them.
You simply cannot. And, like, yeah, man. Okay, this is the thing that is grinding my gears to an extent, uh-huh. but I'm going to try to stay calm to talk about it.
Okay.
I'm in America and I pay for Peacock and there is literally, like, nowhere for me to see his skates, even though he got the fucking bronze medal. They're not on YouTube.
Insane.
They're not on Peacock. It's fucking insane. And this is what's ridiculous about this is that I actually think at this point, my best bet for seeing one of his or both of his programs is fucking emailing him because I have his email address or, like, his Discord and just be like, hey, Andrew, we spoke a few years ago about when you were designing your own sneakers. Can you send me, like, a fan cam of yourself? Because I can't find your skating anywhere, even though I am, like, a journalist yeah. who has interviewed you.
Yeah, no, I just looked it up. I was like, maybe Bulgarian YouTube will have different restrictions. But no, it's simply not on here. Crazy.
It's insane. But he's another one that I would really, really love to get back on here and talk to.
His free skate is bananas. Did you watch it? Have you seen it?
Oh, I sure did. Because every single person that I am, like, friends with independently.
every person
in the whole world texted me at the same time with, like, quotes from the O Fortuna Misheard Lyrics video.
Salsa cookies.
It gave me gonorrhea.
I have done O Fortuna when I was in choir, and we did that. Like, it's one of those, for those of you who are young or were not terminally online, like, 15 years ago, there's a Misheard Lyrics video of O Fortuna, which has rewired the brains of an entire generation. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, please just go on YouTube. It's still on there. Just watch it. I'm giving you this gift. You're welcome.
You're welcome. Go watch it. You know what's crazy is that that's on YouTube and not the fucking bronze medal winning skate. I'm so mad.
Yeah, no. It is very much. It's just 10 years ago. How is this just 10 years ago? I swear to God, it's older.
It is giving E-bombs world. I do wonder whether it was maybe on one of those sites first and then it was just uploaded to maybe. YouTube 10 years ago.
Because I feel like, because I was already out of high school 10 years ago and I very much listened to this. And anyway, point being, it's not just O Fortuna though. It's a remix and then it goes back to Carl fucking Orff. It's insane.
It's an Enigma remix too, which is so funny.
It's insane. It's the whole thing is crazy. It's one of those things that like Misha G is the only person who could have done this. It's bananas.
It is. And I'm just so happy for him. And like literally, I don't even know how to describe how fucked up and stupid it is that there is no video footage of this. I'm like, the only explanation for this that I would accept. Yeah. The only explanation I would accept is if he's literally in witness protection and like the videos are not legally allowed to be posted.
That would be an insane cover.
What if the Carl Orff estate is like, no, we're going to lock down the use of this music?
That would be so funny because that's like such an overused piece of like dramatic music. What if it's also like we draw the line at figure skating?
It would also be funny because Enigma is notoriously not the best at crediting anybody.
Yep.
So
yeah, a mess all around. But yeah, he won the free skate scores. Like the final scores are fucking tight, yo. Like the top three are all within the 177 point something range, and he won that. Above two people that we're about to talk about, both of whom are iconic in different ways. So congrats, friend of the pod and Torgashev. I'm fucking thrilled.
Hell yeah. We love to see our friends succeed. I also love to see Jason Brown succeed, although I will tell you a personal story about my experience of watching this free skate.
Uh-huh.
I had to go to my skating lesson, and it was timed such that I had to miss a lot of the men's final group.
Uh-huh.
But I managed to get there exactly as Jason Brown was skating. And so I was watching him skate as I was tying my own skates.
Oh, my God.
I was watching this on front of the pod Jules's phone, and I was bent over, like, tying my skates. And I, like, forgot to breathe the entire time. And so, like, all the air was crushed out of my lungs, and, like, I wasn't breathing. And so by the time it was over, I was, like, fully having an asthma attack, and I couldn't even do my skating lesson because I couldn't breathe.
That was
thanks,
my
Jason
experience,
Brown.
Even though I was in bed when this was happening.
Yeah, Jason Brown gave us all asthma.
So let's talk about it. Jason Brown, first of all, is back. Secondly, looks like the most beautiful man on earth. Thirdly, I'm sorry. And winner of the gold medal, Ilya Malinin, would agree. Won the popular vote. Everyone was like, what the fuck was that? How is this humanly possible? Every single figure skater in retirement who has access to the internet was like, Jason Brown, what the fuck are you doing? How is this human? Yo. Instantly iconic, the free skate. The short program, I love, and it's beautiful. The free skate?
Like, forget about it. Like, I'm a noted Groban hater, but
well,
I think that this is actually, like, good. I think that Groban is actually fine when he's singing musical theater. I don't like it when he sings, like, really classical rap because he's got a musical theater voice and he doesn't modify his technique at all, but whatever.
As a person of musical theater voice experience, yes.
As a person of voice teacher experience. so, anyway, yes. But I think it's a beautiful song for him. Like, my God, that when it says the world will be better for this, like, who was not crying? I was certainly crying.
Started crying the second I heard it, but I do think half of that was a Pavlovian response.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because we haven't, and I'm so sorry to even bring this up, we haven't seen the Impossible Dream on Ice since Javi.
Yeah, it's and both were amazing in their own way. Like, and it's
very different, very amazing. The thing is, I don't even want to bring it up.
No, I know. But yeah, we know it's not a retirement song because we know he's very much like going into the second half of the season. I just think, you know, whatever, dumb mistake at the end, it happens.
No, it was perfect. It was perfect. Nothing has ever been sexier to me as a performer and a human with eyes than like a pitch perfect performance with one blemish that you can laugh about.
Yeah, that's true. That is super true.
Like him laughing coming out of that fucking triple flip. Masterclass. Like, also someone, I don't remember who, I'm so sorry, I don't have Twitter pulled up. One of our dear followers who's always like on when we're tweeting was like, this was actually metaphorical for, you know, the search for perfection and how perfection is not achievable. So this is meant to happen like that. And this is the analysis I'm here for, actually, is.
No, that's how I felt about it, too. Yes. That was so like smartly articulated because I felt that as well. And I think that Jason, and this will bleed into a little bit of our discussion of Ilya. I think a couple of things I took away from that was like, I think that the fact that he didn't win when the free skates were like his was like that and Ilya's was like it was is one of the things that I'm like, wow, even men's skating gets fucked over by this insane judging system in a way that, I mean, whatever.
And I feel like everyone knew that, like the winner and everyone involved included. I feel like everyone was like, well.
Yeah, it just...
Like, Ilya was deeply not happy.
No, he wasn't. And, like, I think, you know, so I guess to get into Ilya a little bit, he won and he, you know, he fell on the quad axle. He fell a bunch. He doubled and singled and popped
it
a bunch
messy.
Of shit.
It was messy. Was, and it was a mess.
It was. It had, like, no choreography in it, really, because he was just pissed. And it was,
and
like,
he was
very...
still second in the three.
Yeah, it was still very... It was clear to me that... You know, we like scoring fuckery aside, because we know that exists. You know, he's still really young. And I think that the mark of youth isn't the, like, how do I articulate this? I think people see a really, really talented young skater who's delivering even fairly consistently really top level shit. And they think like, wow, they've transcended their age by being this excellent. But I think that the marker of the age is actually like how able are they to keep going when one thing goes wrong and they're not used to it.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, like the fatigue of the free skate being right after the short. And, you know, you could kind of see who was used to saving their energy and who wasn't. But
yeah,
it's like that's when the juniors / young seniors vibe pops out, is when it's like, I fucked up one thing and then the whole rest of it falls apart and we can't give it any kind of magic in any area now.
Yeah, that basically summarizes how I feel. I will say the press conference was very, very exemplary for both how questions were handled, and I retweeted the very nice thread on like how Jason was like exemplary in showing Ilya how to like handle, you know, questions about like, well, this wasn't perfect. Why was it not perfect? And shit like that. Like being this advocate and this voice for sustaining yourself and like not being too hard on yourself in this sport, because it was like a nice moment of like recognizing talent and being like, look, you're going to be going through this. Let me tell you how to handle it in a better way. I thought it was very, a very good display of like sportsmanship and leadership.
Yeah, it was literally so perfect because it was that. And it was like, obviously, this indispensable advice that Ilya can certainly use. I think it was kind of also like the best possible, kindest, least confrontational way to kind of call out the media.
Very shady.
Yeah, to be like, Ilya, sweetie, don't listen to all these mean bitches, like into the mic at the mean bitches. And third of all, I apologize again for not remembering anybody's Twitter handle, but I saw a really smart thread on Twitter about how it was actually also really smart of Jason to do that, because he was demonstrating to God, the media, ISU, and everybody how like his importance as a seasoned leader on the team. And it's like, yeah, you better put him on the international team for the second half of the season, because this is also what he's bringing behind the scenes. It's not just what's on the ice. It's that he has this confidence and this like guidance to offer Ilya. So he's like an indispensable part of the team in that way as well. Yeah. So I think that was really smart. And I don't, this is not to say that he was only saying it in like a calculated way, but I think
I think it's like very genuine about
it. It's genuine. And also I think it was smart for him to showcase that he's bringing that genuine.
It's genuine. And also it shows that there is a lot to the sport, which is not what happens on the ice, but it's like the way you work on yourself off the ice. Like Jason was very vocal about having doubts about coming back to San Jose, which like, some of his worst nationals happened here. So he was like, I didn't think I was going to be able to walk into this arena. And then he did, and he came in and he did this there. He like very openly talks about his work with a sports psychologist.
I really appreciate
that. Overall
team.
Like, it's so much of the stuff that the younger kids can like very much learn from is,
yeah,
yes, you can skate for 4 minutes, but here's the rest of it.
Yeah. And like, I also want to say just quickly that there was a lot of discourse on Twitter about the moment in the press conference where he was like, Ilya, like you, your final jump in your program was a really hard triple
flip. Fucking insane. And, it was stupid.
He's like, mine was a triple flip that I felt fucking tripped on. And a lot of people were upset because they were like, don't self-deprecate, Jason, blah, blah, blah. And like, no, this is one of my stupid pet peeves in life as a person who makes a lot of self-deprecating jokes. I do think there is something to be said for like leaning away from self-deprecation in general. And if anything, leaning into self-aggrandization as like a kind of a healthier way to joke about yourself.
Help.
It does help. It does help a lot. But also, I do personally really kind of hate whenever like there's situations where I can't say anything that is even remotely unflattering about myself without somebody being like, oh no, don't say that. And it's like, I'm literally using it as like a logical rhetorical device in a specific context, and it's clearly not me having like a crisis of confidence.
Like,
so like, can you please
party.
Just follow where I'm going with my words, please? Like,
yeah,
I just like, nobody, people need to calm down. Like, Jason is allowed to say whatever he wants. It's fine.
About himself, yes. I feel like this is a precisely good way to round this off, is people are allowed to say whatever they want about themselves. Oh, what a journey this has been. Good news, 4 continents as of time of recording is in like 3 days.
That is even correct. I also want to acknowledge the teams, the team selection.
Oh, tell me about team selections. Yes,
I will when I scroll down to them on Wikipedia. Okay, so for 4 continents, the teams are Liam Kapakis, Jimmy Ma, and Maxim Nomov. Did I do okay? Nomov?
Yes, beautiful. That was great.
Okay. And then for the women, it's Amber Glenn, Isabeau Levito, and Brady Tennell. The alternates for the men are Tomoki, Yarrow, and Samuel Mindra, who is the new
My new son.
The new son.
I'm so excited to talk about this child. Patreon.com/ICPod.
We're sending birth announcements. And then for the alternates for the women are Star Andrews, Lindsay Thorngren, and Gracie Gold, who also did really well. We love to see it.
I'm fucking Patreon, yo. I have so much to talk about. The U.S. fields are deep and beautiful.
They are. And then for Worlds, the teams are, for the men, Jason, Ilya, and Andrew Torgashev, provided that he gets the TES minimums, which I will talk about in one sec. Alternates, Camden, Maxim Nomov, and Jimmy Ma. And then the
women are
Amber Glenn, Isabeau Levito, Brady Tennell, alternate Star Andrews, Lindsay Thorngren, Ava Marie Ziegler. So the whole like getting the TES minimums thing, this is okay. Mm-hmm. In the same way that everyone forgets every year that Euros and US Nats are like the same weekend, everyone also forgets that it is possible to get your TES minimums between nationals and like Worlds or whatever. There's so many little competitions.
There's a bunch of shit happening.
There's a million of them. I see people who are even like more knowledgeable skating fans than me every year, like, where are they going to get their minimums? Like, just because it's not a major A competition doesn't mean it doesn't count. So don't worry. He's got plenty of options.
As long as it's ISU regulated, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
There's, if you go and you look at like all the ISU calendar events, there's always like some random little trophy going on somewhere in like a city you've never heard of, maybe. And like, it's got like 4 people in it that are like live in the neighborhood, and then like one major star
and then, like,
to get their TES.
Torgashev.
Yeah, exactly. So,
getting
like,
his minimums for Worlds.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. So that's all happening. 4 continents is very much this week. I'm very excited. There's like a moment in the beginning of the calendar year where I'm like, oh no, skating's almost over. And then things start happening and there's so many of them.
Yep. And speaking of so many of them, I do have quite a robust plushy corner that I'm going to try and maybe distill down to just the important ones, because I wrote them all on these tiny post-it notes that I now can't really read. There were a lot of great teddy bears at U.S. Nationals.
A lot of food as well.
A lot of food. Sonia Hilmer, who I'm obsessed with and I cannot wait to talk about on Patreon, received something that I wrote. I said a snake pig dog. I don't know if that's one thing. Yeah, all one thing. I underlined it and I wrote all one thing. I never figured out what that was. Claire So got a dinosaur. What else? Let me look at my insane person post-its. Brady received a dog and a panda. Audrey Shin received a pastel bear and a monkey. Amber got a gay pinata? Yeah, sure. A gay pinata. Good for her. Lindsay got a cupcake, a sloth, and a dog. Ava got giant bear, flowers, unicorn. Gracie received roses, unicorn thing, dog, and then 3 question marks. I don't know. A lot of dogs and mysterious things. Josephine got a Hello Kitty. Star got a dog. Squishmallow, which was so friggin' cute. Gabby Uso got a whale. I love whales on ice. We know this. And yes. Let me see what else I got here. It also says Lindsay Thorngan got a gay owl, which...
Sure, I believe it.
Amber received a shark at some point. The squishmallows continue to baffle me. I never really know what exactly they are, to be honest with you. I find them hard to parse.
I do love them, though.
I do love them. I find them hard to parse as, like, actual real-life animals. Brady got a donut heart.
Yes.
And Isabeau got a unicorn whale.
And that's what I have. Combination things.
I think I was just taking notes for the women's competition, so apologies. But even that, it was a lot of hybrids and a lot of foods, and yeah, it was a really great.
I'm pretty sure I tweeted a bunch of them as they were happening. Also, Four Continents is in Colorado Springs, and U.S. based fans always like come through with plushies, so I'm sure we're about to see a bunch more, like peak plushie stuff.
Yeah, I'm excited, and also. I do worry a little because Colorado Springs tends to bring out the breathlessness in people, but we'll see.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I hadn't even like thought about it. I hope people are well. I hope people have arrived and are adjusting to altitudes and stuff. We're about to talk about all of that on Twitter in the upcoming days. Let's wrap this up. Hey, if you're listening to this, it's because we have so many wonderful people who help us make the show possible. And those are the people who already have access to all of our fun shit on Patreon. Megan, do you want to give me the list of people who leave the lights on in the shirt and etc.?
They make the impossible dream possible.
Oh, God. The people who have never been malad.
The people who are not malad, the people who are healthy and thriving and are the Robins to our Josh and the kids to our Wood. That would be Laura, Ice Tiefling, T, Hyacinth, Pancake Stack, Christina, Elise, Taylor, Shades, Boom Boom Ray, Aditi, Rhea, Elizabeth, Zoe, Elena, Skating Diaries, Ned, Anna, Elni, Mandolin Arts, Lily Putz, Bethany, Eva, Setsuna, Robin is Trans and Tired, A Different Robin, Sophia, Tracy, Rona, Steph, Freya, Casey, Josiah, Sabrina, Annie, Carissa, Magical Zebra in Winter, Melanie, Linnea, Kath, Gina, Via B, Maddie Skiza, Stan, Yana, Alina, Kenneth, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Lindsay. Oh my God, we have 2 pages now. This is the first time this has ever happened to me. Marjorie, Jimmy, Natalie, Robert, Annie, Skating Scores, Vox Machina, Adela, Greta, Tryhard Radio, Samantha, Jesse, Kieran, Mariana, CJ, Barbara, Different Barbara, Sunny, Aaron, Nikki, Aura, Shomakari Supremacy, Haley, Samira, Joseph, Red, Phoebe, Susan, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Heath, Danny, and Jordan.
Jordan. This list, yo, overwhelms me, makes me so happy.
I know there's part of me that's like, I'm kind of like, oh my God, it's long enough now that do I have to like put that part on like 1.5
No.
speed?
No, let people listen and enjoy the glory of our patrons. Thank you so much. You can find us on the internet places. If you want to tell Megan that she doesn't need to speed up this list, Megan, where can people find you?
You can find me at Megan Kelleher 3. Where can they find you, Netta?
I'm at Netta Marie, basically everywhere on the internet. That's N-E-D-A, and then just Marie. You can find both of us over on Twitter and our website and Patreon, and all of that is at IcedPod, simply everywhere.
Simply everywhere. Well, thank you so much for listening to this massive episode, and we will see you very soon with another big one. Because it's got a, this baby can fit four whole continents in it.
So many continents. See ya.
Bye.